research teams from around the world come to show you cool products. All right, I'm with Curtis Wong, and we are talking about the Worldwide Telescope. So apparently this is a real tearjerker, right?
So they say.
All right, well, tell us a little bit about the Worldwide Telescope.
Sure. The Worldwide Telescope is a project out of my group in Microsoft Research. Our group is called Next Media Research. And it's a project that we started at last year's TechFest, where we just built the engine, and that was shown in Rick Ratchett's keynote. So since that time, Jonathan and myself have been sort of, you know, hammering away at building this, and this is where we are about a year later.
All right, let's take a look at it. And who are you working with to get these images and to sort of get this far into space?
Well, the wonderful thing is we're working with a wide variety of people because the whole astronomical community has been really enthusiastic and supportive of this. And so we have a website, worldwidetelescope.org, where you'll be able to see a video that shows what all these different astronomers from different space telescopes and universities think about Worldwide Telescope now that they've had a chance to see it.
All right, let's take a little bit. This is actually going to be my first time looking at it.
Your first time looking at it. Okay, so what you're looking at here is a view of the night sky, relatively uncluttered. You just sort of see some constellation figures. But you can look at the constellations or the sky at a variety of wavelengths, and these are all sort of cross-registered. So we have the hydrogen alpha view, we've got the dust map view, cosmic background radiation, U.S. Naval Observatory, 2 micron, Tycho, X-ray, and radio.
So explain that. So the dust map,
This is the view of hydrogen alpha. Basically, when hydrogen gets excited, it pops an electron up to a higher shell. When it comes down, it releases a photon in a very specific color, which is this sort of reddish color. And we'll come back to that later. So this is a view of the dust from the Milky Way. This is cosmic background radiation. Everything is completely cross-registered, so you'll be able to compare in a second. U.S. Naval Observatory, Tycho, X-ray, radio. So if we go into the X-ray view of the sky, here's a supernova remnant. And usually the supernova remnants are very powerful events, so they create a lot of X-rays. So this is the signature of that X-ray cloud. But what we can do is we can crossfade from the X-ray into the visible, and you can see the boundaries of the clouds. This is called the Veil Nebula, are the remnants of that supernova. So let's go back and look for other supernova remnants that we know are really bright in X-rays. So here's another bright spot here.
How do you know that's a supernova remnant?
Well, there aren't that many things that are just that bright in X-ray. But I actually happen to know this, and you'll see how come I know this in a second. So if we crossfade into this, some of you may know this is the Crab Nebula. And the Crab Nebula in 1054 was a star that went supernova. It was so bright that it was a star that you could see in the daytime. And it was. We know that from both written words as well as some things that the Native Americans sort of had documented as well. So let's also go take a look at this in the Hubble image of this same object. So you can go right into the center and look at the details of this particular object. So visible light is one way to see it. We can also see it from the Spitzer Infrared Space Telescope. You can see what the pulsar looks like inside of the Crab Nebula. So there's the star exploded and then collapsed into a pulsar. And just like when you have something really, really dense, it's not quite a black hole, but when it's that small and dense, basically the gas and other byproducts of the supernova explosion are spinning around really, really quickly. And just like a ballerina, there's two sort of jets that are coming out from both ends that you're seeing here.
My obvious question is, what can you not see?
Well, there's still quite a lot that's not in here. I mean, obviously, the universe is kind of infinite. But let me go show you some other aspects of the Worldwide Telescope. So, did I cover this already?
What'd you say?
Did I talk about this already?
No, you didn't. Okay, so we'll pick that up.
Yeah. One of the things that's really important is this idea of context. So you're looking here, and this shows you where in the sky you're looking. So notice when I move the sky, that little yellow rectangle moves in the sky, too, to show you the frame of reference.
Oh, there goes Ursa Major.
Yep, and so the blue rectangle shows you where the field of view of your actual monitor. So if I zoom in, watch what happens to that little blue rectangle in the corner. So I zoom in, and that rectangle shows you where we're looking within that constellation, okay? So the other thing about this is sort of a contextual search, if you will. So we are showing all of these objects, rather than clutter up the sky with labels, we're showing all these objects just with thumbnails down at the bottom. So if I say, oh, I want to see what that thing is, I'll click on it once, it'll center it, and then zoom in. So this,
wow.
This object is a globular cluster, which is a collection of stars formed around the time of the beginning of when our Milky Way was formed. And they represent stars that are pretty old. So this particular object, if you want to find out what it is, we have this little thing called a finder. So we can bring the finder over and say, oh, okay, that's this. It tells you what it is, shows you a thumbnail. Let's go pull up some information about it. I want to see what that's what Wikipedia has to say about that. So it'll go out to Wikipedia, generate a dynamic query, bring up the page about it, and you can read all that you want to know about it from Wikipedia.
Those weekly trips to the planetarium aren't going to exist anymore for these elementary kids, huh?
Well, they're driving the presentation now. So right now you can look at SINBAD, which is a really nice deep astronomical site from France. There's SEDS, it's an educational website. There's ADS. ADS is the Smithsonian Astrophysical Data Source, which is a database of published papers about objects. So we've done a dynamic query to go back to ADS and bring back the latest papers that happen to reference this particular object that we picked at random.
I'm really, truthfully, no kidding aside, what does this mean academically for students and astronomers?
Well, one of the things that it means academically, I think, which is really wonderful, is how do you get somebody engaged to learn something? I think the first order of business is you have to get them excited about something. And that starts generally with stories. Some of the best storytellers have a way of bringing you into it. And then once you learn about those stories, you want to kind of explore. So we've built a virtual sky that has multiple ways to explore that sky. So the process of interacting and looking around this virtual sky, you start building this spatial mental model of those stories you have heard and where things are and how big they are and how far they are. And underneath that, we have access to data so that you can connect that data to that model that you're starting to build. So as an educational model, I've designed this so that it starts from engagement to exploration to understanding to validation. And all those things play into how this might be used within an educational environment.
Yeah, I think even if you don't have a love for the sky, this, how can you not love what you've done, Curtis? That is pretty amazing. Is there anything else that you wanted to show us?
Absolutely. We mentioned the whole idea of story. So stories, I think, are a critical part of understanding something. So we have astronomers, educators, even kids creating guided tours within the virtual sky. If you can create a PowerPoint presentation, you can create a guided tour in the sky. And let me show you a couple of examples. So here's one from, Alyssa Goodman, who's an astrophysicist at Harvard.
Here's a spiral galaxy not far from us, about 12 million light years away, called M81. If we look at it in optical light, we see billions of stars shining together in a spiral pattern. If we look at the heat from M81 rather than the light, it looks like the false color orangey image we see here. This Spitzer Space Telescope image uses long wavelength cameras that can see heat, just like the one that took the picture of this cat. Galaxies are filled with tiny particles called dust that absorb the light from stars and re-radiate.
So I'm going to pause the tour here for a second. One of the problems with a tour, when you're taking a tour and you're on the bus, sometimes the driver doesn't stop when you want him to stop. And a lot of times, hey, I want to stop in this town to find out what's going on. So with these tours, they are just passed through the virtual environment. So you can pause the tour anytime you like, right? So we've stopped here in this galaxy. We can go look around. He talked about dust. We can actually zoom in and look at details of the dust clouds, right? We can go back and we can say, oh, show me what that looks like in different wavelengths of light from infrared, right? I have access to the data layer I showed you earlier about this particular object. All of this exploration you can do, you can browse and actually look at how this particular galaxy is interacting with its neighbor right here. You know, all of these things are possible. And then when you're ready, you can pick up the tour and continue where you left off. So that's the real power of creating a tour within this interactive environment. And the goal is, as we start to create more and more tours within the virtual environment, we'll create a social network of knowledge and concepts within the virtual sky. And if you think about objects as kind of like intersections or nodes, as you're taking tours, you're going from place to place, you may want to stop at an intersection and go a particular direction and follow whatever interests you. Because right now, what we're doing is we're hyperlinking basic words on the web, you know, and we're trying to get to the semantic web where we're going with concepts. Well, this is sort of going a step further, is how you hyperlink with hypermedia, how you follow stories through the sky depending on things that you're interested in, with the full freedom of opportunity to explore and choose the things that you're interested in. So that's what the Worldwide Telescope is all about.
And when you went into this, did you have any idea it would be as powerful as what you created?
No, it just I created something that I hope people would love and enjoy. And you know, there's so many kids. I mean, I grew up in Los Angeles where there was a lot of smog and a lot of city lights, and I never really saw the Milky Way until I was much older. And today, 70% of kids in the U.S. live in major urban areas, and they rarely really get to see the sky. And so what I wanted to do with this was create something that all those kids could see and learn about the sky from astronomers. It's a one-to-one thing where astronomers are creating these tours, and they can almost talk directly to a kid and really get engaged that way. And if we can inspire another generation of kids, like the Sputnik era of kids interested in science, I think we can make a big difference. And as a Microsoft person, you know, what's our slogan? You know, basically trying to inspire kids to fulfill their potential. And I'm really hoping that this particular project helps us do that.
I think there's no doubt that it will. Curtis, thank you so much. Job well done. And where can we find more information?
You can read more about it at worldwidetelescope.org, which is a nonprofit website, of course. We have some videos with some information, as well as some comments from astronomers and educators who've been using it. And so keep an eye on that website, because in springtime, you'll be able to download this and try it and hopefully have a lot of fun.
Go check out the world. It's awfully big.